Let us listen to the Gospel of St. John, taken from the Last Supper. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer speak of you as slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is about. Instead, I call you my friends, since I have made known to you all that I heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit, fruit that would remain, so that all you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. The command I give to you is this: love one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearest Heavenly Father, in this Easter season, we thank you for the great gift of your love fully manifested to us in the person of Jesus. And we pray that by your mercy, that you inspire in each one of us a greater sense of faith, hope, and love, so that we can be faithful disciples of your church, the mission of the church, the new evangelization. We pray that you bless each one of us with those gifts that are needed, for our men preparing for ordination to the diaconate and the priesthood, for men who are beginning their assignments this summer, for those men who are completing their discernment and formation, for the new men who are preparing to come to Notre Dame Seminary. We are mindful of all the special needs that we have and intentions that touch upon our families and friends, some of the difficulties of this past year, those affected by floods and violence, those affected by spiritual crises, that by the gift of your Holy Spirit, that only in that Spirit can there be true peace and reconciliation and comfort. Lord, we lift up all these prayers and so many more in the silence of our hearts, in his name, Jesus, who is our Lord, forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So this closing conference, I would call it, title it, I Chose You to Bear Fruit, as we just heard from the Gospel of St. John. There's no greater love, as Jesus tells his apostles, than his love for us. I no longer call you a slave, a servant. I call you my friends to go and bear fruit that would remain. A friendship in Jesus that bears fruit, and a fruit that would remain. And so, in your prayer, how has your friendship with Jesus changed since August until now? Is it the same? Has it gotten weaker? Has it intensified? What have you done? How have you invested yourself in your friendship with him? You did not choose me, he tells us. I chose you to be my friend. Have you betrayed his friendship in any way this past year? And he has chosen us to be his friends at Notre Dame Seminary. He's asked that that friendship occur right here. So his friendship has a time and a place. The way in which he chooses to be your friend is the way in which you respond with your responsibilities at Notre Dame Seminary. So on one side, what have been the successes of that friendship in the way in which you've invested yourself as a seminarian? As I just asked, how has that friendship been betrayed because of one's failure to be his friend as a seminarian? So hopefully as you finish exams, as you transition into the summer, that you spend a few moments reading John chapter 15, that very emotional, intense moment, instituting the priesthood, instituting the Holy Eucharist, hours before he's being arrested, that in that dramatic moment, he wants to talk about his friendship with each one of us. This wasn't a casual reflection on a journey from a village to a village. This wasn't an afternoon reflection sitting on a hilltop somewhere. This wasn't after a healing or another miracle. It was in the drama of the Eucharist, the drama of the priesthood, the drama of his hour to be in suffering and his arrest. He chose that moment to say to us, I chose you to be my friend in the midst of this suffering and the midst of this rejoicing. And that's the way in which he wants us to understand that friendship as seminarians, and certainly as priests, as lay people, in whatever state that we're living in. So I would ask that you find a few moments to reflect on that. And Jesus tells us that the friendship is supposed to bear fruit. So it's not just a friendship. I chose you to bear fruit and that it would remain. Fruit gets rotten. Fruit stinks if it just sits there. So maybe there's a stench that has come from some of the fruit that was born. The fruit of my friendship with Jesus manifested itself in sleeping in. The fruit that bore out of my decisions to not study hard. The fruit that bore out of my humanity, of a lack of virtue, staying up too late, disrespecting a brother seminarian, disrespecting an expectation of seminary life. It did bear fruit, and it stinks to be able to take ownership of that. To bear fruit that, Lord, my hours of getting up early in the morning, my fidelity to the rule of life, sitting for hours preparing for that test, reading through hundreds of pages for your glory, because your church is asking me to do this. This was the fruit that was born for you, Jesus, fidelity. I did what I was asked to do. I didn't want to do it. I bent my will, my personal desires, what I think would be right, and maybe you were. That's the rub. But I did it for you, Jesus. This is the fruit that was born. I call it fidelity. And to rejoice in that, to thank God that you were able to bear that type of a fruit this past year. As we now move into the summer, the routine rector conference that every rector is giving this time of the year, this is not in any priority. Certainly the first three or four would be in priority. Then after that, I would just ask you to consider some of these points in order to assure that the fruit that will bear out this summer, which you don't know what that will be necessarily, but you say to God Almighty, in your friendship with Jesus, Lord, I will live this type of a lifestyle to bear fruit this summer for your glory and for your honor. So obviously, number one is your commitment to daily Mass. I did not address this with you. I know for a fact, and I'm not just saying this from perception, I know for a fact there were some of you that did not go to Mass during Mardi Gras. I know that. I know that some of you did not go to daily Mass, particularly on Endymion. You were not faithful to daily Mass and other breaks that have occurred. So this summer, and there may be transportation issues or other issues that are completely out of your control, you'll offer that moment up to the Lord. But what is your commitment to daily Mass that has to be solidified for this summer? Secondly, Liturgy of the Hours. The PPF speaks about the gradualism of your prayer life and your spirituality. So some of you are at the very beginnings. So if nothing else, morning prayer and evening prayer, how can you be faithful to that? Those of you who are further along in formation, especially those who are entering your final year before diaconate, you should be praying all 5 hours. So don't compromise, please, your commitment to the church's prayer. Thirdly, a holy hour. Some of you are at the early stages of maybe offering that, not all at once, a few minutes here, a few minutes there. But at this stage of your formation, sitting in your room is not a holy hour. It's a good reflection. It's a good time to be with the Lord. At a certain point, every seminarian should be able to sit in a chapel, in an oratory, in a church, before our Lord in this tabernacle, to be in communion with them. The parish is going to have, or whatever assignment you're in, a certain rhythm to it, which ought to take a priority. A pastor would never hear, "Father, I can't be at this because I have to do my holy hour." No, there's something wrong with your role of life. Jesus wants you to be present to his people, to your responsibilities, to that assignment, and whatever expectation that looks like. But he also would expect, if it's getting up a little bit earlier at the end of the day, that you'll be able to find time with him that won't be rushed. Fourthly is confession, the sacrament of penance. How that's going to take place this summer and whatever assignment that you're in, I would hope that the regularity of that sacrament will be incorporated into your orarium. As I've pointed to at different times in my class conferences with you, St. John Paul II's reflection about priests, the people of God know, never gives an example, this is in his document on reconciliation and penance, the people of God know when their priests don't go to confession. He gives no example. Will the people of God know intuitively that that seminarian doesn't go to confession? Fifthly, intellectual formation over the summer. So while you're coming off of exams and off of an intense study schedule, you'll take a break. What intellectual formation will you pursue this summer? It might be certainly apart from coursework, apart from the formality of philosophy and theology. It might be literature. It might be poetry. It might be a work of fiction. Something, nevertheless, that continues to provoke your intellectual formation. So find time and how that will continue to be stimulated over the summer. Number six is fraternity over the summer. I spoke to the T3 and T4 guys who are obviously getting ready for ordination and for ministry, but I hear it every year from those guys that come back 3-4 months later and had very, very little contact with classmates. And so I would hope that, knowing that most of you will be coming back in August, just a few months from now, that you're very intentional about fraternity with your diocesan brothers, but certainly with classmates and with friends. Don't presume that whatever friendships are in place will have the same strength when you come back. As you know, friendships take a lot of time and investment. Number seven is professionalism. The small ways in which we are professional in responding to emails, invitations, returning calls, thank you notes. So beginning this summer, when people are taking you out for coffee, for breakfast, that virtue of gratitude, which is based on habit, will be exercised with generosity. Just be attentive to manners, walking through the rectory, being aware of the staff, the secretaries, the people around you, that you're certainly reflective of their presence. Certainly when people are taking you out for meals, that there's a consciousness about how you're presenting yourself as a seminarian. I would put all of that under the rubric of professionalism, the way you dress, greet, interact, all of that social aspect reflect the virtue of professionalism. Number eight is boundaries, particularly with women. For you younger fellows who are newer as a seminarian, who often work with people your own age, other college age students or young adults, you're still a seminarian, and so you don't want to be rigid in those interactions, but you also have to respect the boundaries of how they're receiving you, your enthusiasm, your positive social presentation of yourself, that it's not flirtatious, showing off, that you have a real understanding of ministerial boundaries. Number nine, spiritual direction and formation advising. In the external form, before you leave, just a quick touching base, that you and your formation advisor have an understanding of what type of contact you're going to have. It might be a quick email. He may say, "Let's have a phone call every few weeks." Understand what that is, because in August, when I meet with the formation advisors, I'm going to ask them, what type of contact have you had? And every year I'll hear a few guys, there was no contact. Again, that's your responsibility to be in contact with him. It might be minimal, or he may be expecting more. As a footnote, I'll talk in a moment about Father Arnone, but any of Father Arnone's advisees, please be in contact with me about the expectations of formation advising. Spiritual direction in the internal form, it's the same thing. I would expect that there would be a little bit more contact, that it's a little bit more intensified in terms of what you're reviewing and talking about over the summer. For those of you who take advantage of the counseling services with Dr. Sakasa, the same thing, learn from him and from yourself what you would expect to continue during the summer months. Number 10, crisis moments. By statistic, let's see, last year, there were probably 4 or 5 seminarians who found themselves in crisis moments. Celibacy, obedience issues with pastors and others, and their superiors of theirs. If you find yourself in a moment where you're feeling compromised in your vocation, your discernment, a sin that was committed in some way that you should be accountable to in the external form, please reach out. Reach out to me as the rector. Reach out to your formation advisor. As you know, the cover-up is worse than the sin. And so when guys come back and things then start surfacing that should have been surfaced sometime during the summer, there can be an exaggeration to the church's response because the church is trying to catch up with what occurred during the summer if there was a crisis moment. Bring the church in as quickly as possible to whatever crisis that might be occurring. Now, there may be other crises that are more personal. A family situation, tensions in your family, please let us mentor, help, talk, be present with you if you're dealing with some personal issues that relate, again, to family situations. Number 12, temperance, the use of alcohol, social time, when you get free time, are you spending hours on Facebook, watching movies, being lazy? In public situations, you're at a wedding, you're still a seminarian, you're always a seminarian, even with your best friend's wedding. When is it time to go home? When is it time to step away from situations? How is the virtue of temperance always going to prevail, even in settings that they're your best friends? You can never hit the pause button. You're always a seminarian. Number 13, curfew. More than just because of this house, which has to have public accountability and expectations of the way in which we observe a schedule, I would hope that you can impose on yourself, which speaks again to the virtue of temperance or to a consistent rule of life, a curfew of what time seminarians, even if you're just at home on break, are coming in at night. I keep myself honest to you. When there are free weekends, when there are times, you know, I won't look because my computer automatically will give to me times, but I still scratch my head, even though it's permitted outside of formation time. Why are seminarians coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning on a free weekend? I don't care if you were with the best friend, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. It does not reflect a person who's living a good, healthy rule of life. So in the summertime, and whatever assignment that you're in, that you're living a modest simplicity of life schedule that has you going to bed at a good time, getting up and early at a good time. Number 14, as I referenced, social media. You are always a representative of the church. Whatever you're putting on Facebook, whatever you're putting out by opinion, if it's presidential politics, if it's a reaction to something Pope Francis said, if it's a moral issue, immigration, some of the areas where people have a lot of different opinions, that what you're responding to, if it's in a conversation, or if it's the use of social media, always represents the mind of the church and the thinking of the church. Number 15, ambassadors of Notre Dame Seminary. I feel very proud of the feedback that I often hear when there are groups of seminarians from Notre Dame Seminary. If it's at IPF, and I know those folks very well, the director of IPF is a year ahead of me, we were in school together. Bless you. And so when I hear feedback, boy, the Notre Dame seminarians, like, boy, they represent you well. I appreciate hearing that. I somewhat expect it because of the quality of our program and the quality of you, but I feel very proud when I hear that. I was speaking not long ago with a vocation director who has seminarians in different theologies. If it was up to him, he says this gratuitously, not just he's being nice to me, he says, Jim, I would love to have all of my men at Notre Dame Seminary. It's not possible, the bishop has other thinking there. It's very clear when all of our seminarians get together for a gathering, it's very clear that the Notre Dame seminarians always seem to be a step forward. There seems to be an integrity. There seems to be an edge, a positive edge. So I thank the Lord for that, but be mindful of that as you're in situations. I would never want someone scratching their head. What are they teaching at this Notre Dame Seminary? Why is he acting like that? Why does he say this? For the upperclassmen who are preaching, our T3 and T4 guys, who taught him to preach like that? I then would not want to be in a situation where I have to defend Notre Dame Seminary when I have to say, we didn't teach him to do that. We did teach him to do this, and why he's not doing it, I don't know. Those are rare occasions, but I appreciate you representing Notre Dame Seminary very, very well.